Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin Zayin. We're going to start at Vav Amud Bet at the two. We'll go back to the two dots. Amar Rava. About 14 lines from the bottom. We'll do the beginning part very quickly because we have a long daf. Okay, Fuash Lema, Dvar Batino, Savram Shema Minchana, Kermi Banim, Orli Pnina Barachel Frida Chaim, Alka Esther Batsipora, Daniel Ram Chai Rudas, Ram Chale, Bar Rivka, Paul Yoshua Palak Ben Bracha Bati, Yelmir Bat Chai, Rina Chai Bat Shoshani, Yakob Ben Roses, Viva Mela, Tali Rachel Bat Tamar Sara, Livlonish Machana Bat Tara, Vareza Bat Sara. Okay, we were looking at these cases of someone who gives a gift to someone on the condition that they return it. So Amar Rav, Helach Mana, Manacha Tachzireuli, right? If take this mana, on the condition that you're going to return it. So he lists a whole bunch of things. Bemecher lo kana, beisha ena mekudesha, bepidyon ben ein beno padoy, betruma yatsa yedei netina. So truma was the one case it works, but asur lasoke mipnei shenireh kekohen maseya bebeit hagranot. There's a separate issue that we're worried that it looks like he's getting benefits so that he gets truma, or we saw a few different interpretations. So now we're going to continue from here. Maika Savarava, what's this based on, what he holds? This is going to be a question. Ika Savar Matana Amanat Lachzir Shma Matana, that if you give a matana with the condition to return it, it's still considered a matana, then afilu kulunami, then all of them should actually work. Viika Savar Lo Shma Matana, afilu trumanami lo. And if you think that giving a matana in order to return a matana, right, Amanat Lachzir, is not considered a matana, then it shouldn't even work for truma. So basically, they're saying, we don't know why you're making a distinction between truma and the others. Either a matana, a manat lachzir, should be a matana, and all of them should work, or it shouldn't be a matana, and none of them should work. And furthermore, we actually know what Rava holds about this issue. Rava, hu de'amar matana, manat lachzir, shma matana. Rava's position is that if you give a matana, in order, on the condition that the person return it, it is considered a matana. How do we know this? Da Amar Rava, okay, the famous case where we all use this, or some of us use this. Heilach etrog zeh menacha tachzureyu li. It has to be on the first day of Sukkot. You need to have your own lulav. Let's say you didn't buy a lulav. You have to own it. So what do? Somebody gives you a lulav as a matana on the condition that you return it, basically, because it's their lulav. They're not giving it to you for good. So if you say, you can have this etrog as long as you give it back to me. Nitalo v'chziro yetza. Okay, he's yotze yudeis chova. He's considered the owner of it temporarily. V'im lav, and if you don't do it like this, then lo yetza. Okay, so now we're left with our question. I want to stop for 1 minute and just discuss how this two ways of understanding this matana manat lachzir. Okay, one is that it's considered as mani kinyan. It's like, you're going to own this temporarily. Think about the etrog. You're basically telling someone, you're going to own this temporarily, and therefore when you return it, you don't actually have to affect a kinyan to return it. Because the guy knows from the beginning that he's only getting it temporarily, and he's just going to give it back. Okay? And then the question is, with this matana manat lachzir, is that type of ownership, since it's a weak ownership, because it's right, it goes back without even needing a kinyan, is that enough to be considered his for that moment?
Oh, and I thought you were saying weak, W-E-E-K. What happens if he gives it back after the week is over and then it's about losing its value?
Oh, right. No, we're talking about something being weak, W-E-A-K, that it's a weak kinyan, not a week-long kinyan, right? It would be a whole separate thing. Yeah. He wouldn't give it to him for the whole week. That was the whole reason why he does it by the lulav is because he needs it back. He needs to fulfill his mitzvah. Right.
It could be that.
Right.
Problem.
Right. But it's not a time factor thing. The other one is that really, at that moment he gets it, it's considered his forever. Okay? What's the issue? Like with the get, there's a condition upon it. In other words, yes, this is yours, but it's conditioned upon the fact that you eventually return it to me. And then he basically is the fact that there's a condition upon this kinyan, does that mean it doesn't work? Or do we say, no, it works, you just have to return it after. You have a condition attached to it, which, you know, so now you get it, but you have to fulfill the condition later, and then it goes back to the other guy.
It's even more strange because it says if he does not fulfill it, I mean, the note here says if he does not fulfill it and doesn't give it back, then he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah because it was never his. because it was only his on the condition that he return it.
Right.
Even though, of course, then he's got it.
Right. Right. Exactly. So if he doesn't fulfill his condition, then he doesn't. It's not yotze the mitzvah because it was never actually a good effective kinyan. But that would support the fact that it's all a condition. And it works by the laws of tna'in, just like the get wasn't good unless the condition was fulfilled. So the kinyan is not good unless the condition is fulfilled. Okay. Ela amar Rav Ashi. Bekulu kane levar me'isha. Rav Ashi says, okay, so this was all, remember, we said, how could it be? Rav hold matana malach chazir shma matana, and therefore it should work for all of them. So now, what does Rav Ashi say? Bekulu kane, it actually does work for all of them. Okay, we're rereading Rav now. Levar me'isha, only a woman is an exception. Why? Lefisha ein isha nikne bechalipin. Okay, now there's a whole bunch of different explanations as to what this means. Okay? Remember, we have to explain we have to remember what chalipin is. Chalipin is when you do it by a symbolic exchange. You basically say, I'm buying this, and then instead of, right, normally you would take the object, and that would affect the kinyan. Here you're taking a handkerchief or something symbolic. You're raising it, you know, doing hagbaha or, you know, doing a sort of kinyan with something symbolic that's representative of the fact that you're making a kinyan. So if you remember, we learned that a woman can't be niknepe chalipin, and that was because chalipin is often done with something that's not shavah pruta, and therefore that wouldn't be good, right? And a woman you might think a woman could be bought without shavah pruta. So now the question is, what's the connection here? So now you could say, that why is giving a woman money under the condition, let's say you say, here's this ring, haram kudesh libet tabadzo, almanat that you give it back to me in a minute, right, when you're done. So now you could say this, it's symbolic because she's not really getting the money. So it's just like a chalipin because we're using the money or the tabad or whatever it is as a symbol of the fact that there's a kinyan going on here, but she's not actually going to keep it. That's one way of looking at it. There's two sort of approaches as to whether this is, maybe it's mida oraita, it doesn't work. Okay, and what's the issue? Because she has to get hana'ah. Remember, we talked about this. She has to get some form of hana'ah from the kesef kiddushin, and she's not getting any. Or maybe mida oraita would work, but the rabbi says it doesn't work because they're worried we're going to confuse it with chalipin. In other words, it's just a gzera that if we allow this, then we might actually allow chalipin. So that could be another way of looking at it. And if you say it's mita oraita because she doesn't get hana'ah, then it's the same as chalipin. Also, there's no hana'ah in the kinyan chalipin. And that's why she can't do a kinyan chalipin. Okay. Okay. The one thing I wanted to point out here is the pidyon haben, we talk about this pidyon haben, why? So according to Rav Ashi's conclusion, you could give it to the Kohen, amanat lahachzir, and it would work. So the question is, how does that work? Don't you have to purchase the child, basically? You know, you have to pay the Kohen. So they say that, one of the opinions says that once you're mekayim the mitzvah, you no longer have a chov. So at that moment you bought it, it was, you know, then the chov is no longer there, so therefore the guy can return the money. Okay, that's like one way of looking at it. Okay. Amar le Rav Huna mar b'rei de Rav Nechemia, le Rav Ashi, hach amrina mishmei de Rava kavatech. Okay, so now he says to Rav Ashi, you know, I heard it said in Rava's name, just like you said, because remember, we changed what Rava said. First, we thought Rava said it only works by truma, and even that you really shouldn't do. In the end, we said it works by everything, just not by the woman, because we're worried we're going to confuse it with chalipin. And then they told Rav Ashi, oh yeah, we heard it in his name also, just like you said. Okay, new case. Amar Rava. Ten mana leploni ve'ekadesh lecha. Okay, what does she say? Go give money. I don't want the money. I don't want the kesef kiddushin. Go give the kesef kiddushin to so and so, and I will be married to you based on that. Okay. Now Rashi adds, by the way, and he's going to add this in all the cases we're going to see now, that obviously ukishen atnulo amar lehit kadshili. He still has to say the whole, we're not dealing with the fact that you have to say Haram Mekudesh Li or whatever. Obviously he has to say that. But the point is, if she says, now what's interesting about all these cases is the woman is the one maneuvering things here. Okay? She's kind of stating the terms. Thank you. She's stating the terms of what to do. In all these cases, it's going to be very interesting. I was thinking that, you know, in Gitin, it was all about, you know, she's really not a player. And here we've been seeing a lot that she's very much a player and she can maneuver things the way she wants. So she says, give this to so-and-so and I'll be married from the money that you're giving to someone else. She's mekudeshet. how does this work? Because didn't we say she needs to get hana'ah, right? How does this work? So, midin arev, it works like a guarantor. Okay, well, how does a guarantor work? Arev, lav afagav, delo mate hana liyade, kamishtabe nafshe. Even though the arev, what happens? An arev, a guarantor signs on a loan. He says, I agree to take responsibility, right? Now, even though generally you get responsibility because you receive something, right? So the guy who borrowed the money gets the hana'ah that he's going to have the money to use. And with that, he's mishabe nafsho to pay back the money. This arev, despite the fact, af agav delo mate hana'ah liyadei, right? Even though he gets no benefit from this loan, kamishabe nafshe. Okay, he is misha'abed nafsho, basically, even though he got nothing for it. He's willing to put himself on the line for it. So therefore, they're going to say, just like this, hi, ititanami, the woman also, af agav delo mate hana'ali yadei, kamishtabe umakniya nafshe, nafsha. And it's even though she didn't get any benefit from it, she's still allowed to be misha'abed nafsha. Okay? So, one second, I wanted to add. Right. So there's two ways of looking at this. Tosfot says, you can say with both of them that when the money passes hands, like when the malva gives the money to the loveh, so the loveh was meshabed nafshe, so we look at it as if the arev got the money himself. That's how we view it. That's why it works. Even though he didn't get any direct hana'ah, it's as if he was in place of the loveh. Likewise, the woman can be viewed. Even though she didn't get the money, she wanted the money to go to someone else. So she was mesha'abed nafsha. It's almost like she was in place of that person. She's saying, I want him to get the money in place of me, so I'm kind of, you know, it's as if I got the money myself.
You can see where this would play out. To say if a woman's family needed money, maybe.
She could say, give it to my family. Or
I'll marry you.
Right, and I'll marry you. Right, right. You could definitely see. I understood this case, although I'm not sure it's definitely the case that she maybe owed money to this person. But I'm not so sure that that's the case. I think it could be that she just wants someone else to benefit from the money. So the Ritva takes it and says that there is hana'ah. It's just a different kind of hana'ah. What's the hana'ah? The hana'ah of the arev is, it's respectable to be an arev, a guarantor. It means you're a respectable person, that people look to you to guarantee their loans. So he gets a sort of benefit. And we've seen this before on the page before. We're going to see more of it. There's sometimes there's hana'ah that's not actually defined in money, but it's hana'ah that they rely on him. And the woman also, and this is interesting if you talk about women and their power, that she feels a certain amount of power that she was able to affect where this money's going. She can decide about it, which is interesting in the light of the fact that women generally didn't own money either. So this is like money that was supposed to go to her, and she's saying, I want you to do something else with it, and that's power. But she can say, I want that money to go to someone else. And that power, that's interesting, what's it saying? If you have power to affect something, it gives you pleasure. Okay, so she enjoys that, and that's a sort of hana'ah that she has. But it's obviously not the hana'ah that we've been discussing in Tonga. Okay, that's one case. Now we're going to take another case, and then we're going to join the two cases. We're going to find a case that has both elements of each of these cases. So the next case is Helach Mane Vihit Kadshi Leploni. One second. Take this Mane, and I forget now who's the subject for this. One second. Give me a sec. Blanking. Okay, one second. Helach Mane. Right, it's the shaliach talking. That's why I can't remember. The shaliach says, "Take right, take my money."
Yeah.
The shaliach comes and he brings his own money, and he says, "Take this money of mine, and with it you'll be married to the guy who sent me." Okay, so what's the issue here? The issue here is it's not the guy's money. Right? Remember, we always ask at the wedding, "Is this your ring? Did you buy it? Did you?" Okay, here it's not his money at all. Okay, so mikudeshet, it works. Why? Midin evet knani. Now we're going to learn it from an evet knani. What happens in evet knani? How does an evet knani get bought out of slavery? Someone else buys him. He doesn't buy himself out, right? So evet knani lav afagav delo kachatzer velo midi. I mean, the truth is, he probably could buy himself out, but it also works if someone buys him out. So afagav delo kachatzer velo midi kakane nafshe. Even though he doesn't actually lose anything, right? He doesn't pay the money. He's still kone nafshe. So, hi gavra nami, this guy also, afa gav de lo kachaser velo midi, he didn't have to put any money out, because the shaliach did it. Kakane le lahai itita. Okay, he could still buy that woman. So now, here comes the next case. So if she now says, ten mana leploni, go give money to so-and-so, ve'akadesh ani lo, and I am going to be bought to him. I'm going to be married to this guy. You understand? So now she's asking some third guy to give money, he's like the shaliach, so to speak, to someone else, and she wants to be married to that person with that money that's coming from the third guy. So again, it's got the aspect of a shaliach, and it's got the aspect that the woman is the one calling the shots, basically. She's saying, and she's also not accepting the money herself. Right? Now, that's the real issue. Number one, he's not paying the money out. Number two, she's not receiving the money. You follow? So it's got both elements. So now they're going to have a long-winded discussion of how it has both elements. That's basically what they're going to say here. So now they're going to say, midin shnehem. She's mekudeshet midin shnehem. So how does this work? Arev, lava afagav delo kamate hana'al yadei kamishtabed nafshe, hayit itanami. Afagav delo kamate hana'al yada kamakne nafshe. So, right, both of them, this is like the Arev, because the Arev didn't get any hana'a, and the woman didn't get any hana'a. But now they say, me dami, but how could you compare these? Again, this is going to be like a rhetorical question because they're just bringing it to show, well, the other case is going to prove what's missing here. Okay? In other words, me dami, this isn't the same kind of situation. Because arev, hai de kakanele, kachaser mamona. In the end, the guy who bought, who was the one, right? In the arev case, it's the malve, who was the one who put out the money. And hai gavra, kakanele lahai itita. Velo kachaser velo midi, right? Just like in the Arev case, and who was in the marriage one that was compared to the Arev case, what happened? The guy who was getting married actually put up the money. And in this case, he didn't put up any money. So now what do they say? Oh, Evet Kenani yochiach, right? But the Evet Kenani case will prove that he doesn't need to put up the money. Delo kachaser mamona v'kakane nafshe, right? In other words, there was no loss of money for the guy, and he still was able to acquire. So I say, now they're going to use the flip, but mi dame, but it's not similar because if you just look at the Evet Kenani case and not connect it with the Arev case, it's not going to have what the Arev case has, right? And then again, they're going to prove, well, Arev yochiach. So I said, it's very long-winded. In the end, they're going to say you need both together. Well, if you combine them both, then it works. Hatam hadaka makne kakane, right? The one who was makne the money, he was the one who was acquiring it. Ha-cha, ha-itita kamakne anafshe velo kakane velo midi. Here it's the woman who's Makna nafshe, right? But lo kakani velo midi. She's not buying anything. Arev yochiach. But here the Arev is going to prove. Because apa gav de lo kamate hana aliyade mishabed nafshe, right? Even though he's not putting anything out, right? He can still be mishabed nafshe. In other words, he wasn't a player there, right? But he didn't get any hana'a. Still, he was able to be mishabed nafshe. So therefore, from the elements of both, they're both in this case, and we can learn that it works. Since the Arev works and the Evet Kenani works independently, we can combine them and say both issues work. You can actually, right, get married to someone who didn't put up any money, and in the case where you also didn't get the money. Okay, that's the issue. She didn't get the money, he didn't give the money. And yet, from the combination, now you could have said, well, each one only works independently. You can't combine things and not have either one. But the Gemara seems to be fine with saying that it works. Okay, new case. By Rava. Helach mana v'akadesh ani lecha mahu. Let's say you say, go give this money. There's a lot of cases. I'm getting confused who's who and who's what. He says, she gives a money and she says, right, she gives the money to the guy who she wants to marry. Okay, it should be the opposite, right? Especially we talked about the man's supposed to be the one initiating, right? So, ki kafi shisha. She gives him the money and she says, with this, I'll be married to you. Now, okay, first of all, what's the issue here? The feminists would love this one. So now, what's the issue? So, Amar Zutra, Mishmeja Rapapa, Mikudeshet. He says this works. Okay? So now,
how is this different than the case we had a few pages ago?
Where she says, okay, so you have to assume that he says, Hare ani, Hare
mekudeshet li. So he repeats the words.
He'll say it. And in the end, he'll say, Hare ani mekudeshet li. The question is, who's initiating? But I don't think it's really who's initiating. It's where's the money coming from, right? She's saying, right, well, the truth is,
Helech
maneh. Wait, she's, right, she's giving him the money. She's providing the money for it. So the point is, you can do a kinyan with her money, even, yes. Right, as long as he says,
but can't it be that she's giving him the money as a gift, and then he does the kiddush, just like with the kohen, you mentioned the kohen at the pidyon haben, usually the kohen, I know in case.
She's giving him amanat lahachzir, and then he gives it back, right. But, right, so if you look at Rashi, I was trying to find this Rashi. Rashi says, V'kadesh ani l'chad v'hu kiblova amar la hitkadshili b'kach. It's almost like this matana, right? It does sound that way. That she gives him the money and says, marry me with this. And then he gives it back and says, this, you know, you're going to get married with this money. I think the difference is I'm not so sure he's actually giving it to her. I think he's using the money as a form of kinyan, but he's not actually giving her the money. That's the way I view it. Okay.
I think also what the difference might be, I don't remember the wording on the page, but here it says Akadesh ani lecha, meaning she still accepts the fact that she's the one.
Right.
Whereas in the other case they took
right. She's away, not. Saying, she was saying you're right.
Which I guess is the distinction.
Right. The terminology is different. Right. She's not. Well, she's also not saying a phrase of kiddushin. She's telling him, use this money to marry me. It's like the woman proposing to the man. That's basically what's happening here. She's proposing to him and saying, you know, let's get married and use this money. Or maybe he doesn't have money, so she's giving him money. She knows he wants to marry her. You know, obviously, what's implicit in all these cases, you have to say, is that all these things, he's clearly... He wants this to happen. Otherwise, you know, you clearly need his dad. It's not like, you know, if the shaliach's going to take his own money and marry her off to, you know, clearly he made him his shaliach. You know, Rashi even says in one of the earlier cases, v'hu shlucho. In other words, clearly the guy was his shaliach. Otherwise, there'd be nothing to talk about it. You have to have his dad. But the question is, if she's sort of initiating and making things happen. So, Amar Marzutra Mishmedra Papa Mikudesh. So now, Rav Ashi has a problem with this. Amar Le Rav Ashi Le Marzutra. Im Ken... What's the issue here? She's affecting a kinyan with this money. Now that's nechasim, what's money? Money is nechasim she'en lahem achrayut. We learned about nechasim she'esh lahem achrayut is karka. Okay? So now they're basically, some of the mafreshim say they're equating, there's always a question, where do people
women,
go?
They're basically
equating women with karka. Property. Well, the point is, either they're equating women with property, they would be treated the same, which is a whole question. When you have a behemah, what's it like? And an eved, is it like property or is it like immovable property? But even if you don't say that, better to say she's like karka than saying she's like metaltalim. Metaltalim is much, you know, more lower. So it's saying a person is certainly, when you're going to have a comparison between two, you're not going to make it like the metaltalim. You know, how could you make it like the metaltalim? She can't possibly be at the lower level. She's certainly at the higher level, even if she's not exactly like karka. But she's certainly more than metaltalim. So we're saying this. How could you say that the woman is acquired by the man when they do this kinyan with kesef? It doesn't make any sense. Right? We say, Nechasim she'esh l'machrayut, niknimim nechasim she'en l'machrayut. Ve'anad ifchatnan, nechasim she'en, sorry, right, havilei nechasim she'esh l'machrayut, right, that would be acquired with nechasim she'en l'machrayut. It would mean that if I bought your broom, then I could acquire your land with that. You know, that makes no sense. Okay? Ve'anad ifchatnan, nechasim she'en l'machrayut, niknimim nechasim she'esh l'machrayut. Bekesef b'shtar b'chazakah. What does this mean? If I purchase your land, we learned about this a few weeks ago, a kinyan agav. What's kinyan agav? Kinyan agav is that I say, I'm buying your land, and with that land, I'm going to acquire things that are in that land, right? When you buy a house, sometimes you acquire some of the things that are in the house, like the lamps and the furniture, you know, whatever it might be. So if that happens, right, first of all, you have to state it. It's not enough to just assume. You have to state it, but you don't have to do a separate kinyan on all of those items. If you do a kinyan on the land, okay, then that's enough to affect a kinyan on the metaltalin that are in that land. Or other metaltalin. You might say, with this purchase of land, I'm going to also give you blah, 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 okay? I'm going to give you, you know, some other stuff that might not even be in there, but you wouldn't need to make a separate kinyan because the kinyan you did for the land would include all that. But that's not what's going on here. It's the opposite. So Amarle, Misvarita Amarle Agav. I'm not talking about a Kinyan Agav here. Hacha ba'adam chashuv askina. It's talking about that she was marrying an Adam Chashuv. Now there's a homachloket about whether he has to actually, we have to check that he really is an Adam Chashuv, and it would only work in a case where the guy was Chashuv, or do you say that a woman, whoever she's marrying, is always Chashuv in her eyes? Okay? Otherwise, why does that make sense? You laugh a little, but she wouldn't be marrying him if he wasn't Chashuv, right? So now, Hacha ba'adam Chashuv askina, de'bahahi. So how does that help? Behahi hana'a, now we're going to have it again. She's buying it not with the money that she said, take this money. She's buying it with hana'a. She's gaining hana'a from the exchange. And that hana'a is affecting the kiddushin. What's the hana'a that she's getting? Dekamakaba matana mine gamar umachni le nafsha. If you give a gift to an important person, it makes you feel good. You get pleasure from giving a gift to someone who's an important person. And therefore, by him accepting this gift, that gives her hana'ah, and with that hana'ah, she's getting married. Okay, that's how Rav Mar Zutra thinks it works. Okay. Itmar nami mishmei derava. Now we're going to say, in the name of Rav, it was said. Now, the whole question is, what is this said about? Okay, because we had a whole bunch of cases, if you recall. We had the Arev, we had the Eved Kenani, we had the mixed case of both of them. Now, in all those cases, Rav said it worked. In this last case, Rava wasn't sure it worked or not. Remember, he asked a question, Mar Zutra answered it. So some of the Mepharshim say the Rava's statement, okay, that we're going to see now, v'chein l'inya mamona, these types of kinyanim also work by mamon, okay? It's not clear whether he's referring to the last case. It's possible he's not referring to the last case because he wasn't even sure about the halacha of the last case. So certainly he's not going to now say that also applies to mamon, okay? But maybe he's referring to the earlier cases of the Arev and Eved Kenani. And then, v'chein l'inya mamon, okay, and that's what Rashi says. That it's Hanach Shmata Derava Dialfinan Kiddushin Midin Arev Midin Eved Kenani Kein Linya Mamono. Okay, Rashi thinks it's only referring to the earlier cases and not to the last one that he wasn't sure about. Utsricha. Now, why did he need to say it also works for Mamon? Diyash Midan Kiddushin Mishum Daha Itita Nichala Bekoldehu. Kiddurish Lakish. Here we go with our anti-feminist. Okay, if you thought the beginning was feminist, here's that famous line: Kiddurish Lakish, Damarish Lakish, Tav Lemetav Tandum with Lemetav Ormelo. Women would always rather be married, and that's why you might have thought this only works by kiddushin, that we use some sort of crazy whatever, because she's happy to get married in any way. She doesn't care how it happens. She doesn't care about getting the ring. You know, she'd rather have the marriage, and therefore she'll give it to someone else.
So that's actually anti-feminist, by the way.
Uh huh.
You could actually spin that. Maybe yeah, she's not materialistic, and she's really just interested in the love.
Ah, so in this context, you're saying that she doesn't care about the. She's not necessarily anti-feminist. It's saying she doesn't care about the money. She just wants to have the marriage. That's more important to her than. Right.
I'm interested in being bored.
Right.
What you can give
yeah, but there's all sorts of other. This comes up in all sorts of sugyas, and it's not just about money. It's just always saying that the woman would always prefer to be married rather than not. Okay.
Well,
whereas,
well, we also learned
it's
that
all.
We
you learned, always have to remember that what's the cultural context of this? No, yeah. For sure. I'm just saying it's one of those lines of feminine. You know, that people use to say, well, yeah, it's not true anymore. But it could be it's not true anymore. But it's the issue is first of all, in, some people would rather be married. There are some women others that are like that. You know, I don't know percentages, but the issue is that in that context, we've talked about this many times, that definitely a woman would rather be married because financially she's taken care of. Also, the older she got, the more difficult it was for her to get married, right? Linyana de Yoma, that whole article that was published this week about the girls going to seminaries at age 17 to Israel. This Haredi guy wrote this thing, you didn't hear this? It's a terrible thing that the girls go to seminary at age 17 because that's when they're perfectly ripe for marriage. And when they come back and they're already
yes,
a year older, they're already like the 21-year-olds that want to marry the 17-year-olds. You know, they've missed that window and they're already too old and the men will think they're too old and they won't want to marry them. And the Sems are like ruining the whole, or causing the shidduch crisis. Anyway, it's been causing a whole big hullabaloo. Okay, anyway. Ava mamona emalo. You might say, though, when it comes to mamon, there's no such issue. V'iyash mina mamona. Let's say you would say it worked by mamon. Then obviously it would work by kiddushin if that's the case. Well, then you have a different issue. Mishum de'ityav l'mechila. Mamon can always, you can always give someone a gift for free. Right? You don't always want something in exchange for mamon. In other words, mamon, you can always just say amochel. Don't return me my money. Or don't, okay? Aval kiddushin emalo. You can't do that with kiddushin. You can't say, oh, well, let's just affect kiddushin without any sort of money passing hands. Or right, you have to have some sort of kinyan. So therefore, ema lo, and therefore, you might have thought it would have worked by kiddushin, so it's shrifa. Okay, now we're going to move on to a different thing. Again, Rava. I'm a Rava. Hit katshili lechetzi mikudeshet. Chetziech mikudeshet li ena mikudeshet. If he says, marry me for half of me, okay? Get married to half of me. That works. But if you say, half of you is married to me, doesn't work. Amar le Abaye le Rava, maishna chetziech mikudeshet li de'ena mikudeshet. Why wouldn't... Now, Abaye is questioning Rava. He's saying like this. What's your logic of saying that half of you is mikudeshet li, it doesn't work? Because he is assuming that... What's his logic? Because Isha Amar Rahmana velo chatzi Isha. It says ki yikach ishisha. It doesn't say ki yikach chatzi Isha. Right? He has to take the whole wife. But there, I'm going to take it one step further. Hachanami Isha Amar Rahmana velo chatzi Isha. It doesn't say if half a man takes a woman, right?
Didn't they determine that there's no such thing as half a person? Maybe you could hands could separate from your...
Yafes. So we did talk about that there's no such thing as half a person. Right. So we're going to sort of see that here, although you see that the half does work by the man. So here they're going to understand it differently. Amarle, they're going to say, what do you think he really meant by this? Hachi hashta, that's the way you're comparing? No. Hatan, itita lebe tre lo chazya. What does it mean, half of you is married to me? That means I want half of you and some other man can take the other half, and that obviously doesn't work. She's an yeshadish. But ela gavra, milo chazya lebe tre, but a man could say half of me is married to you because he could take another wife for the other half. So therefore, that's why Rava says this works. V'hachi ka'amrala. That if you wanted to marry someone else, you could, and that obviously doesn't make any sense, right? That can't jive. Amalem razutra beredra, marry the Ravina. Benifshitu le kidushe bekula. Why don't we say that if he marries half of her, and this is sort of like what Naomi's saying, there's no such thing as half. So what happens? He says, I'm marrying half of you, but then it spreads to the other half of her. In other words, what he really meant was, I want, you know, like, I don't know, I love half of you, but what he really means is I love all of you. You know, he really just meant it. And why can't we say that it's nifsho lekule? And why does he think that this would work? Milo Tanya, we have a similar case. Again, we're going to compare to a behema. Okay. Ha'omer ragla shel zo ola, tehei kula ola. If you say the leg of this animal is an ola, you really mean the whole animal. Va'filu laman damar ein kula ola. And even the person who thinks that it's not, Hanemile hecha demaktish davar she'ena neshamat luyabo. Ava maktish davar she'neshamat luyabo havi kula ola. The guy who says it doesn't work is only talking about a part of the body that if you took it off, the animal could still survive. Neshama is not tluyabo. But there's no such thing as having half a woman without something that her neshama is tluyabo. You can't cut half her body off and she could still function. Okay, there's no such thing. So therefore, even the one who says it wouldn't work by a behema only thinks it doesn't work in a case, I'm sorry, it wouldn't spread, only thinks it doesn't spread in a case where you could remove that aver, right? You could take off its leg and the animal would still be alive, assuming, you know, it doesn't bleed to death. But, okay. So now they say, mi dame, but are they really similar? Okay, because the whole thing was to say they're similar and there it's mitpashet, right? It spreads and here it doesn't. Hatan behema hachadat acheret. In other words, here's your good line. You can't compare a behema to a woman. Why?
Finally.
Yes. Thankfully. Because with a behema, the behema has no choice whether it's going to be sacrificed or not. But when it comes to kiddushin, the woman has a choice. And therefore, no, she has to agree unless her father's marrying her. But there has to be dat from that side. And therefore, she thinks, again, this goes back to what we saw the other day, she thinks that he's only marrying half of her, so she's not accepting the full marriage. Okay? So, haladamya, it's more similar to this case. Let's say the animal's owned by two people. Higdish chetzia, okay, one guy is makdish his half. V'chazaru lekacha, and then he buys the other half from the other guy. V'higdisha, okay? And then he's makdish, so now he's makdish the whole animal, but how did he do it? In halves. Okay? Kedosha ve'ena kreva. This animal is kadosh, but it can't be sacrificed. Ve'oset mura utmurata kayotseba. And if you were to do tmura, okay, we learned this a long time ago, but I'll remind you what this means. This means if you say, I have this Bayamai's hekesh, I already designated him to be a korban, I'm putting that kedusha on a different animal, I'm swapping the kedusha. Okay, you're not allowed to do that, but if you did do it anyway, both animals are kadosh. In other words, you transferred hektesh to the other one, but you haven't gotten rid of the hektesh on the first one. And what they're saying here is the hektesh animal is going to have the tmura is going to have the exact same status, meaning it's kadosh, but it can't be sacrificed. Okay, and it assumes the exact same status. Now, shmami natzlat. Now, how does this work? Why can't this animal be sacrificed? So before we even read this, I want to explain. There's something called dichoy by a korban. What does dichoy mean? Okay, the classic case of dichoy is a little different than this one. Classic case of dichoy is you take an animal, you set him aside, and then he gets a mum, and he can't be sacrificed anymore. So that is an animal now that's dichoy, can't be sacrificed, okay? And let's say it breaks a leg, and the leg gets healed, and it becomes perfect again, okay? You still can't sacrifice it. Once it was dichoy, it's dichoy forever.
You have to turn out the field and wait for it to die.
Right. So then, right, exactly. We saw those things have to do with it. So now, shmami na tlat. You can learn three things from here. Number one, shmami na ba'alei chayim nidchim. Now, there's dichoy, right? And if they're nidchim la'olam. Okay, that's the halach of dichoy. If you have an animal, you separated him and he's a problem. Right. So what was the issue here? When he separated him from the beginning, he didn't own rights to separate this animal for a korban. So it wasn't roi to a korban in the beginning. And therefore, it was dachoy in the beginning. Even if you eventually buy the whole thing, you can't use it. Ushma mina, and here's where it's going to be different from the case I brought. Dichoy meikara havidichoy. Generally, dichoy is it was good when you set it aside in the beginning. So you had a good hakadasha, right? And then it became dachoy. And then they're telling you, well, it doesn't work anymore. Now they're telling you, in a case where it was dachoy meikara, from the very beginning, when you set aside this animal, you never had rights to set aside this animal, and therefore it was dachoy meikara. So that also has the same dinim of dichoy. Okay? Ushma mina yesh dichoy bedamim. Okay, what does this mean? We've learned many times before also what? That when you set aside an animal, there can be two ways. It has kedushat haguf or kedushat damim. If you set aside an animal to be sacrificed, that animal now has kedushat haguf. That's always a higher level of kedusha. So you would assume dichoy works in the kedushat haguf case, right? When you, in other words, on the higher level of kedusha, it's going to work. Now they're telling you, even if you set something aside just kedushat damim, you're just not teaching the value of it. Okay, now what's their assumption here? In this case, what did you do when you said, I want this animal to be hekdesh, and you didn't own the whole animal? You clearly weren't makdish gufo because you didn't own the whole guf to be makdish. You were only makdish the damim, the value of it. And still we say that dichoy applies in that case. So therefore, they're saying, even if something just has kedusha damim, dichoy is going to work for it. Okay, those are the three things we learned. Okay, now we're going to have a slew of questions, okay? As usual with these questions, we're going to have, well, if you say this, then that, and if you say that, and in the end, it's all taken. By Rava, chetzech b'chatzi pruta, v'chetzech b'chatzi pruta, mahu. Okay, you said I'm going to marry half of you with half a pruta and half of you with half a pruta. So there's two issues here. Number one, you're only marrying half of her in each statement. Number two, you only have half a pruta and you need a full pruta. Kevin de Amar Lachetzi Pruta Pascha. Does he mean I'm viewing each one as a separate independent thing and therefore it doesn't work? Odilma Moneba Holechu. He's like adding up. And I'll do this half of you with this half of Pruta and that half of you with the other half and they all join together and it's fine. Because in the end, he's marrying a whole person with a whole Pruta. Intim Tzilomer Moneba Holechu. Now, if you're going to say that he is continuing, what if he says, Chetzich Bepruta, Vechetzich Bepruta Mahu? Each half of her, he's marrying with a pruta. Now, in the chatzi pruta case, each one clearly couldn't have stood on its own because you can't marry someone with a chatzi pruta. But if you married her with a whole pruta, but you only married half of her, so you could say he viewed that as a whole independent thing, right? Came into Amar Leba pruta, upruta, paska lemilte. Again, was he distinguishing? This is one kiddushin of a pruta, and that's another kiddushin of a pruta. Odilma, kol biyome mana beholechu. Or could you say, as long as it's within the same day or within the same, we'll see later, they're going to talk about, let's say it's a different day, but the Mefreshim say, even if it's like Baboker or Ba'erev, that would be considered separate. But here it's all in the same like moment. Then he's Moneh B'Holechu. He's assuming to combine it all together. Let's say he says that does work, as long as it's the same day. So what if it's different days? Would it work? Let's say you say chetzech b'pruta hayom v'chetzech b'pruta lemachar. Mahu, do we say kevan to amar lemachar paska? He's viewing, since he said I'm doing that tomorrow, so obviously he's viewing it as separate. O dilma hachi kamerla, or maybe he's saying kiddushim matchalu meha'idna u'megamer lo nigmeru ad lemachar. I'm starting the process today, but I'm only going to finish it up tomorrow when I get, you know, the other money. I'll buy the other half of you. Okay. Shnei chetzeich bepruta. What if he says I'm buying two halves of you in a pruta? What's the issue here? Hacha vaday b'chadazim neka amrala. Do we say, well, clearly he means to do this all at one time because he's doing it all with one pruta, so it's viewed as a whole. O dilma eini shama kadeshet l'chatzaim. Or do we say, no, a woman can't be bought in halves, and he's still using a statement that says, you're two halves. He's viewing her as two halves, and that doesn't work either. Teiku. Okay, so we don't know the answer to these questions. Bye, Rava. Okay, again, by the way, if you remember, we've talked about this before, when there's an intim tzilomar, so some of the mafreshim view it as, since they're already building off on that possibility, then we go with that possibility. They said the intim tzilomar. So some of the mafreshim paskin based on this, that every time we said the intim tzilomar, we actually paskin that way. Obviously, not all of them had an intim tzilomar, right? The end ones were left with a question. Bai Rava, shnei benotayach l'shnei banai, pruta, mahu. Let's say you say, I want your two daughters to marry my two daughters. My two daughters to marry your two sons. So now what happens? And with a pruta. One pruta for two marriages. Now, one pruta for two marriages shouldn't work, but what might you say here? Batar notenu mekabel azlinan, v'ha'ika mamona. O dilma batar ditu azlinan, v'ha leika. Do we say that it goes by the person receiving the money? Here the father is marrying off his daughters. So he's getting a pruta. What's the difference whether it's two or three or four? The sale is affected by one pruta. So that works. Or do you say, no, it goes by the children that are getting married and by each one needs a pruta? Which would make more sense because we've talked about that it's not respectful for a woman to get married by less than a pruta. When we talked about chalipin, we said it was like an embarrassment. So it's a little bit of embarrassment if you're going to marry each one off by only half a pruta. But again, it's that whole thing about the father. He's viewed as the one. It's not an embarrassment for him because he's getting a pruta. So what if he's getting a pruta for two rather than one? Right. And it could be.
It's so disproportionate because if you could equally marry a woman through a mashtar.
Yeah. So if you can marry her through bia or shtar, then why does the kesef have to be right? Well, again, we said that there was the hana'a and the bia, so you could say that that's somewhat comparable, right? The shtar we had held a little bit differently because that was somewhat different because there is not so much hana'a there.
I'm trying to figure out right. What we're learning from all of this.
So first of all, part of this is if you're doing it b'kesef, it's like anything. Once it gets into kesef, then it has to be defined by kesef. Criteria. By other ways, the kesef is nicknamed.
It's a complete deal. So how can they start even discussing chetzi, yom chetzi machar?
No, because chetzi plus chetzi is a whole. So in the end, you have a whole deal. It's just a matter of, right?
Just arguing for the sake of arguing.
Right. These are... It's an intellectual discussion about how to view... I think what they're really getting at, and this goes on a lot, is what type of kinyan is this? For each item, and we're going to see this as we go on, you'll understand this better as time goes on, because we're going to see all different types of kinyanim. This whole parak is all about kinyanim. What type of a kinyan is this? Right? It's not like a karka kinyan. It's got its own unique type of kinyanim. And how does it work? What are we looking for here? Does she really need to receive the money? Is it just hana'a enough? Is benefit enough? That's what's really going on here. What is affecting this kinyan, and how does it work? And that's why it doesn't matter. If you do a b'shtar or bia, that's all separate kinyan. It doesn't affect us. We want to compare this kinyan of kesef to other places where this kinyan kesef, or maybe kinyan kesef doesn't even work. Like we're going to see a case where kinyan kesef doesn't even work in other things. Like to buy, forget now what it is, but right, sometimes kesef doesn't work. You need to do mashicha. There's other things. So, but we're going to keep, we're going to keep seeing things like this for a while. So next case, teiku. So they say teiku. Buy Rav Papa. Rav Papa now asks, bitech uparatech bepruta. Let's say he's going to buy the daughter and the para with a pruta. Mahu mi amrinan bitech b'chatzi pruta uparatech b'chatzi pruta. O dilma, here we're going to see it. Bitech b'pruta uparatech b'mishicha. since you can't affect a kinyan for a para with money, therefore maybe the money was for the woman fully, and the para was going to be called, bought by Mashiach, and the prut had nothing to do with the para. Or do you say no, half-half? By Rav Ashi, bitech v'karkaech b'pruta mahu. What if you say your daughter and your field for a pruta? Do you say bitech b'chatzi pruta v'karkaech b'chatzi pruta? O dilma, bitech b'pruta v'karkaech b'chazaka. That really you're planning to acquire the field through a different means, which is chazaka. You were on the land already, and therefore you were acquiring it that way. They say here, why wouldn't you just say that in this case it's all going to the same person, just like with the two daughters? And you could say, well, he got a pruta, so yeah, he got some other things for it, but maybe a pruta is enough. And that's because these are, again, they're two different types of kinyan. When it's the same type of kinyan, the kiddushin kinyan, you could say that we join them. But when it's that, you can't say. So that's why they suggest one was chazaka and one was by kesef. Teku. Hahu gavra de'akdish b'shirai. He was makdish with silk, okay, which is worth, clearly it's worth a pruta. Okay, so now, Rabba Amar lo tzricha shuma. You don't have to evaluate its value, okay? You can just assume it's more than a pruta and it's fine. Rav Yosef Amar tzricha shuma. You have to evaluate how much it costs. You have to say, this piece of silk is worth 100 zuz, let's say, and that's what she's getting married with. So now they want to say, Ida Amar b'kol dehu, if you're talking about that he said it's worth, Ida Amar b'kol dehu, if he said, I'm going to marry you with anything, and as I don't care the value of what I marry you with, then clearly it doesn't need to be evaluated then, because we know that this is worth at least that. In other words, it's called worth anything, right? He says, I don't care what I marry you with. But Ida Amalei Chamshin, Velo Shavu Chamshin, Halo Shavu. And if you say that the case is, he said, I want to marry you based on 50, and it's not Shavet 50, well, then it's clearly not Shavet 50. So then that can't be what they're arguing about. So what do they say? Ki pligi to Amar Chamshin b'shavu Chamshin. Their machloket is about a case where he said, I want it to be a particular value, and it is that particular value, but what's the issue? Rabba Amar lo tzricha shuma d'ha shavu Chamshin. Okay, so that's the obvious case, right? If we know it's Shavet 50, then we don't need to evaluate it. For Rav Yosef Amar, tzricha shuma needs to be properly evaluated. Why? Kevan di'itita lo b'kia b'shuma lo samcha data. She, the woman, the assumption is, now this is interesting, you would think the women knew the value of silk more than the men did, right? They worked more. But anyway, they're going to say here that because she might not know the value of items, therefore she might not have agreed to get married properly because she didn't know if this was actually the right value of what he said he was going to marry her with. Okay, the last thing we're going to end with is Ika de Amri. There's a different way of reading this. The Bekol de Hunami Pligi. They're also arguing not just about a case where he said, I'm giving you a certain value and we have to make sure this is a value and we have to make sure, even if we know it is, make sure that she knows it's the value. But it's a case where he didn't care about the value. But Rav Yosef Amar, Shve Kesef Hareu Ke Kesef. Ma Kesef De Kitz, Asha Be Kesef Nami De Kayitz. What does this mean? If you're going to marry B'Shavet Kesef, right? This is the whole thing we talked about. We didn't really get into this much. Maybe we'll get into it later. But that you're going to get married with a ring that's worth money, right? So money always has a value. You know exactly. If you use 10 shekel coins, so it has a value of 10 shekels. Everybody knows what its value is. So since we learned Shvei Kesef from Kesef, Shvei Kesef has to be just like Kesef, according to Rav Yosef, which is that you have to know the value of what it is. Okay, which is interesting. We obviously don't do this. We don't know how much the ring is worth when we get married on it. But
you just say more than.
Right. You know it's worth more than a pruta, but you don't know exactly what it's worth. But anyway, that's his approach, okay? And they're going to get into that tomorrow, what it's based on, where he learns it from.